Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. There's no difference whatsoever.
None.
None. Zero. Zippity do.
The men and the women equally bad.
Equally bad. So everybody's terrible at multitasking.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, gender and multitasking.
Now, will this story die about the fact that women are better at multitasking when it's such a good story? You know, we have all these things. We have children.
We have a just-so story. Yeah, just socks on the floor.
Exactly. So it's very appealing to keep that going. But yet, we see that there is no evidence in this latest experiment that that actually is the case. And, you know, when you back up and think about that for a minute, I mean, you know, hunting ain't one thing and taking care of babies and collecting food and all that kind of stuff, that's not one thing either. And the idea that somehow females, because of their position in any kind of societal structure, would have to learn to be better at this just to function, is there's just not any case for that.
And in fact, the better evolutionary just-so story isn't really about men versus women in the case of, with respect to things like multitasking, but rather the individual differences that we see in how diffuse attention is.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a case where, not necessarily specific to one gender, although there tend to be more younger boys who are distractible than younger girls, but still, you know, diagnoses of ADD happen to boys and girls in school and to men and women as adults. But what this reflects in part is how distractible you are. That is, how likely is it that some noise in your periphery will attract your attention, which creates multitasking. And this is why I'm bringing this up, because if you're working on one task and the environment distracts you and you now switch to another task, then this kind of task switching is now being driven not internally,
right?
I've decided to do two things at once, but rather the world has decided that there's a second thing that I'm going to pay attention to. And of course, all of us are distractible to some degree. So,
of course. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're, no matter how single-mindedly focused you are on something, if there's a loud noise behind you because a shelf collapsed or something, then you look up and turn around and say, what was that?
Yeah.
You know? But the question is if there's a cricket chirping in the town next to yours, does that also get your attention? And the answer for some people is yes.
Oh yeah.
And that variability actually, you know, is probably a good idea, because if everyone were single-mindedly focused just on the thing in front of you, then it would be really easy to sneak up on that tribe.
It would.
Right?
It would.
And of course, if everyone was infinitely distractible, nothing would ever get done.
Yeah.
Right? But if rather than making everyone the same, you know, one of the beauties of genetics is, you know, and one of the core principles of Darwinian evolution is variability and natural selection. So what's interesting is we talk about natural selection all the time. What we don't talk so much about when we're talking about evolution is the variability piece of
it.
But of course, that's a critical component.
There has to be some variability from which to select.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the things that we don't talk about is we tend to then say, well, so natural selection selected for a particular trait. But sometimes natural selection has permitted a certain range of variability to persist in the species because actually that variability turns out to be useful.
Yeah.
So it's actually useful to have some number of people who are going to stay single-mindedly focused on stuff as long as there's somebody else who can alert them when something bad's about to happen.
As long as Ted's looking around.
As long as Ted is being distracted and here's that twig snap.
Yeah, exactly.
In time to warn everyone else.
And, you know, something interesting about the thing you bring up about variability, too, because I think, you know, whether we're comparing, you know, males to females or children to adults or, you know, highly educated people from less educated people, we tend to imagine each label as containing a homogenized group, you know, that, right. that I shouldn't say homogenized, the East label containing a homogenous group, that everybody in that group is alike. So if you say women are better than multitasking men, then all women, like the worst multitasking female is a better multitasking. No, this is not uncommon, right? That in most things that we think about, there is tremendous variation among the population. And the idea that somehow once you say this kind of person in whatever category is this, it certainly doesn't pertain to everybody in that category.
Yeah. And it's really hard. You know, we not only do we want to know the answer to things in many situations, we want to know, like, which is it? What are you? You're an introvert or an extrovert? Are you a good multitasker or a bad multitasker? And the answer is, you know, I got a range.
It depends again. There you go. Well, you know, we should probably say we are natural category makers, right? We put people in
bins. Are categorizers.
We're categorizers, right? And we are, we think more efficiently, right? If I can say, well, this is probably that, and this is probably that, and that kind of categorization actually, in many cases, aids us in making predictions that'll help us navigate whatever it is that we're facing. But of course, the more variability there is within a category, there's a certain probability always that whatever predictions we're making are not actually accurate. And yet, overall, on balance, it is efficient to categorize things and people and to put them in categories, even though we have to recognize at the same time that within each of those categories, tremendous variability.
Yeah, and I think what this tells us is that just because there is a category boundary doesn't mean that every interesting psychological phenomenon is going to respect that particular boundary.
Yeah.
So the fact is that you know, men and women, different racial or ethnic categories, just because we have those categories doesn't mean that there's going to be meaningful differences across those categories that we should be that we should be attending to. And so those categories, we may overrepresent the degree to which those categories reflect differences between people on any random psychological characteristic, and multitasking is just one of them.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of art with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.